The Last Word is the title of the 2017 movie starring Shirley MacLaine. In this sweet and sour dramatic comedy, she plays Harriet Lawler, a retired advertising executive. She effectively walls herself up in her grand, immaculate house that's a testament to her former glory, but so quiet it might as well be her mausoleum. Frankly, it's a wonder that no one has strangled her yet. Unapologetically domineering, Harriet all but grabs the garden clippers from her exasperated gardener and pushes her blissfully patient cook out of the kitchen. She knows better, does better, always has, and always will. Her elbows aren't sharp, they are lethal. Well, the story proper begins when Harriet has a brush with death. Somewhat worriedly, she decides to arrange an obituary worthy of her status. She makes a study of the genre, underlying what goes into a good death notice. Friends, she has none. Family, well, that's questionable. This leads her to the local newspaper, which owes her for her longtime patronage, and straight to Anne, a reluctant obituary writer who's dragooned into service. Unfortunately, the obituary writer is unable to find anything complimentary from her relationships. The writer comes to the conclusion that Harriet has put the B-I-T-C-H into obituary. As we grow older and prepare ourselves for a transition into the next life, which we Catholics call eternal life, the notion of legacy becomes important. Like Harriet in The Last Word, have you wondered what your legacy will be? Will it be a list of successful accomplishments? Will it be various donations made to charitable organizations to help others in need? Or a monetary inheritance left to family members or friends? Perhaps the greatest legacy we leave behind is one not written in stocks or bonds, or etched on a tombstone, but in the hearts and minds of others and the stories they will share about us and the effect we had on them. This Sunday we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, and we hear stories about just that, family, accentuated by promise, faith, and legacy. Abram, concerned about an heir, has a heart-to-heart talk with God about his and Sarah's childlessness. God quells Abraham's anxiety. In addition to a promised land, God now promises Abram an heir, his own offspring. Abram and Sarah will have a son, and his descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. What a legacy of promises. Abram's further response is to trust God, who views Abraham's decision as an act of righteousness. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author instructs his audience about the great theological virtue of faith. He uses Abraham as his primary example to showcase this virtue, as well as the beneficence of God, who is faithful to divine promises made. Embedded in this message is the recognition of Abraham's descendants as his legacy. With the presentation of Jesus in the temple, Luke focuses on family, faith, promises fulfilled, and legacy. In the temple, the family meets Simeon and Anna, who encounter the promised one. Both speak about the child and his future mission. Joseph and Mary's family legacy will involve having a son who will bring hope and contradiction to a world waiting for salvation and liberation. Family, faith, and legacy. Abraham and Sarah, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna were all righteous people of deep faith. All received divine promises that God fulfilled because they believed. We are invited to think about family, to reevaluate our understanding of legacy, and to believe wholeheartedly in the one whose word and promises are true. As recipients of Abraham's legacy, we don't want to miss the fulfillment of the promise when it happens in our lives. Family is all around us, and in the most important way, within us. We take family wherever we go. A family therapist once said, "It's important for every family to get its saints out of heaven and its sinners out of hell." The point is that it doesn't pay to either idealize or demonize our families or fellow family members. So we might want to examine our perceptions of family and the powerful influences those perceptions exert on our worldview, including our view of faith and community. We hear our parents' instructions about right and wrong long after we became adults. We instinctively hug a friend who's having a difficult day because someone, when we were young, hugged us. Those family ties are what keeps us in family, being family, connected to family now and forever. So I offer you in the following questions for your reflection these last words. Abraham trusted God's promise of boundless heirs, even despite evidence to the contrary. When have you trusted God that your life and work will be fruitful? And when have you doubted God? The heart of what makes us a family are bonds of love and respect. What are your feelings about family? Who would you consider to be the key members of your family in your day-to-day life? And how do the patterns of your family of origin continue to influence your relationships today? The gospel tells us of the wonderful predictions offered by Simeon and Anna. How do early expectations of family members affect you today? It must have been puzzling for Joseph and Mary to live with the knowledge that the favor of God was upon their son. How do we live with those around us, working together day by day, and yet knowing that they are called to be holy saints, even as we are? We gather here today at a table, a family table, grateful for this legacy of faith that says and sings, lives and believes that we are the family of God.